Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good morning, Lee.
Howdy there, Tara.
Well, they're dropping like flies. Let me tell you what, there aren't going to be any of us left anywhere to say anything anymore ever. At the rate we're going. And the alarming, absolutely alarming lack of condemnation of that by Republicans is terrifying. Particularly the leadership, who somehow believe that by 2022, they're going to be allowed to run campaign commercials if they just behave.
I think we should refer to them as the sleeper ship, because they're asleep at the switch.
Like a sleeper cell for the Democrats,
You
know?
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, no, it's really bad. I mean, you're looking at what's going on right now, and I detailed this yesterday in the Battleground podcast. When you put it all together, when you're at the point where President Trump is being booted off YouTube and the RNC discovers that their email provider has not been sending their fundraising emails out and not telling them. And then when they confront them, they say, oh, well, you might say something violent. The RNC is the most milquetoast country club Republican organization ever. I'm terrified of them, quite frankly. I don't send my money because they're so milquetoast. On any given day, they might be undermining Democrats. Undermining Republicans, that is. It's hard to tell. I mean, they're the chief donor arm for the Republican Party. They raise the money. And the RNC has never said anything violent. I mean, they're just not that kind of organization. I like to give directly to candidates. I don't trust the RNC to choose for me which candidates need it, because some of the candidates they choose, quite frankly, are Democrat light.
Right.
And this is not a controversial organization. What this is a direct attack and assault on the Republican Party's ability to raise money. The email company was blocking the fundraising letters, and they realized it. They said, oh, there might be something violent in there. Okay, if they're doing that right now, we've already seen an all-out assault by Facebook on the Republican National Senatorial Committee. They raise money for Senate candidates. And Facebook decided that their ads would be blocked on Facebook during the Senate runoff in Georgia, but that the Democrats would not. So they get to run their ads. That was before anything that happened at the Capitol. Process that for a minute. They were already doing this stuff. This is a direct hit on the Republicans' ability to fundraise. So these Republicans who think, I mean, Nancy Mace is one of the worst on Fox News from South Carolina, who think if I just behave, if I just repeat what the Democrats want me to, I'll be allowed to fundraise and I'll get elected and I can be famous. I'm here to break it to you. You need to look real close at the events of the last month. Again, the ads by the Republican Senatorial Committee to elect Republicans, and in that case specifically, they were running ads for Loeffler and Perdue. That was all before the Capitol. So if you think you can just condemn President Trump and drop kick his supporters and you're going to be okay, I can still be famous, I can still raise the money, I got some news for you. You need to wake up. Maybe get some real news. Because that's just not the case. This is just the excuse. Lee, I have detailed, in excruciating detail, exactly how this would go down for 4 years. Mm-hmm. I even told you, and I'm going to take credit for this morning, I even told you how they were going to take down Parler in detail. Not last week. Not last month. In June. Mm-hmm. In June, I told you how they'd do it. And I still at the time had people who think they're capitalists texting into the show and saying things like, well, you know, I'll just go to Parler. I'll just go on another site. And I told you, you will not be allowed to. They will be deplatformed and destroyed. I detailed, I even told you who deplatform them and how they do it. I even told you about how the other providers would slink away because I'd already seen it with Gab. They did this to Gab and it destroyed Gab. You have to go right to the site. Now, Gab did have something of a resurgence, you know, over the last week, 700, I think, percent increase in traffic. Good. But I'd already seen what they'd done to Gab. I knew they were coming for Parler. I described exactly how they would do it. And I did it months ago before anything at this at the Capitol happened. How did I know that? Again, you know, I wouldn't blame you for thinking I'm psychic. But no, I just follow the news. The Capitol was just the excuse. And Tucker Carlson makes a brilliant point. Oh, by the way, did you see Tom Fitton's off Twitter now?
Oh, really?
Yes, with I call them the shadow Department of Justice because yeah. They actually do the things the Department of Justice used to do when they were in the business of justice.
Yeah.
But now they are not. They are in the business of corruption. But Tom Fitton, who's the head of Judicial Watch, man, single-handedly preventing more voter fraud in this country than anybody else by forcing states to comply with laws that require them to clean the dead voters and the fake voters off the rolls. He was pulled off of Twitter. Do you know why?
Oh, I'm sure it has something to do with about him inciting violence.
Yeah, no. No, actually, no. You know what he wrote?
What?
Hydroxychloroquine is safe.
Okay. Well, see, now that's fake news. So
hydroxychloroquine is safe. That's what he wrote. Now, he was challenged on this and appealed it a number of months ago. And Twitter actually had ruled at the time that, no, that wasn't a violation of their terms. They went back to that statement and took his account. And they used it because they can't find anything violent. And then there's Steve Bannon's War Room podcast, largest political podcast on earth with the most downloads. You think that'll save you? Nope.
No.
Gone right off of YouTube.
That makes you a target.
That makes you a target. So, I mean, if I were trying to foment violence among people who are not currently violent, this is what I would do. I literally would silence them.
Well, that and the impeachment process, too. Where, you know, half the nation voted for a guy that you're trying to now continue to prosecute, even though in 7 days he's going to be out of office anyway. And quite honestly, there is complete disagreement among many reasoned people about whether or not that the accusations against him are even accurate or let alone true.
We're going to tear that apart today. I'm going to use the timeline published by NPR and The Washington Post. That's a little scary. Because so much of what they publish is just flat out inaccurate, but we're going to tear it apart. And here's the problem with the timeline. It is the way that this has been reported. You would think that Trump gave the speech right outside the Capitol. The crowd went wild and went in and attacked it.
Right.
The site where Trump gave the speech was a 45 minute walk from the Capitol. One problem. The violence began. I'm sorry. I'm not going to call it violence. The disruption began when the invasion is a better word, the trespassing, the forcible trespassing is a better accurate description. I'm not going to use terms the media uses because they're just inaccurate. But the disruption began as Trump was still speaking, Lee. It's a 45-minute walk to the Capitol. And you start doing the math based on the timeline published by NPR and Washington Post. It doesn't work. Now, you could say that maybe some people who were already at the Capitol, maybe somehow were watching Trump online somewhere, that's because the speech was streamed online, and that they turned around and attacked. But the idea that he fired up the crowd and then they went and turned on the Capitol is physically impossible.
You know something else that's interesting about that?
It's off by 56 minutes.
We had numerous credible people, some of whom you and I actually know, who were there. And who have told us that the people who actually did the breach of the Capitol building were related to Antifa or Antifa members. I'm not hearing this anywhere else. Now, I've heard some on Rush Limbaugh. Some people also had called in and said, hey, these were Antifa people. But you're not hearing this anywhere else. Even the possibility of this is not even being talked about or explained.
Here's what we know, okay, and this is I want to try to stick with what we know with this. Here's what we know for a fact. We know that Trump supporters did breach the Capitol. They did go inside the Capitol. We know that for a fact. We know that one of them was shot. She had a very long history, internet-wise, of being a Trump supporter. So we know they were in. Then we know they forced their way in. We know we got there. But we also know a violent Black Lives Matter activist who had been arrested for his violent threats and provocations in his own state was also inside the Capitol. We know that, too. That is also fact. It is absolutely indisputable. He was the guy filming, ironically, the female Trump supporter who was shot by the Capitol Police. So as a reporter, my question is twofold. What was he doing inside that building? Mm-hmm. He breached it, too. That means we know that there's a Trump support component who breached the building. And we also know that there is a violent Black Lives Matter component that breached the building. So as a reporter, I'm going to want to find out more about that. But they don't want to talk about it. And there's a curious thing here. Black Lives Matter violent support, that is a Democrat group. He's inside the Capitol. Why haven't the Democrats condemned that?
Mm-hmm.
They haven't said a word, have they?
Well, there has been no Democrat condemnation of any of the violence associated with supporters of the BLM movement and other Antifa-related groups that perpetrated violence against American cities throughout the past year.
No. So we're going to tear the timeline apart. And the idea that the crowd went from Trump's speech to the Capitol violates the time-space continuum and laws of physics. It's impossible. So this whole thing is a complete scam, once again. Now, you could say, perhaps, that Trump's, you know, wanting to challenge the election results made some people mad, and his rhetoric before the speech maybe got them fired up. But the idea that they heard it at the speech, he fired them up and they went, and that is the specific charge in the impeachment, is physically impossible.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Tucker Carlson making a brilliant point. Anybody remember when the deranged Bernie lunatic attempted to execute members of Congress? Remember that? Yeah, well, Tucker Carlson hit on something pretty critical about that last night in his rant on Pelosi. Hold on just a second here. When we're talking about this, the entirety of three of the last 4 years were based on the idea that the president was a Russian asset and that the election had been stolen for him by the Russians. That has been utterly, totally, and completely debunked. It is fake. It's insane. The idea that the Russians hacked the DNC server, we've known since 2017, that CrowdStrike, the only firm that's ever looked at that server, not only isn't sure if the Russians did it, they're not sure they were hacked at all. When asked in a classified hearing by Congress that has now been declassified, we've got the transcripts, can you prove that you were hacked? That's the Russian interference. They could not. They were then asked, how do you know then that it was the Russians if you don't even know if you were hacked? They said they didn't. But they thought if they were hacked, it probably seemed like the way the Russians would do it. On that lie, an entire three-year foundation of derangement was built. The idea that the president was illegitimate, he wasn't really the president. The election had been stolen. The American people had been manipulated. This was hip. It was hot. And it may have spurred the baseball shooter to act. Who spurred him on? Nancy Pelosi, who's never seen even one day's interruption in any of her social media accounts. This is how you know the outrage coming out of Washington is astroturfed and fake.
6 months after Donald Trump's election, Nancy Pelosi wrote this on Twitter, quote, our election was hijacked. There is no question. Congress has a duty to hashtag protect our democracy and hashtag follow the facts. Insurrection? No. A month later, a Bernie Sanders voter tried to murder congressional Republicans office holders with a rifle at a baseball practice in Arlington, Virginia. He almost succeeded. He shot Steve Scalise, almost killed him. Yet none of these same corporations, these morally aware corporations, suspended donations to Bernie Sanders or to Nancy Pelosi. And by the way, they shouldn't have, because Pelosi and Sanders didn't pull the trigger. But they didn't even consider it, nor did they issue statements about respecting the rule of law or threaten Nancy Pelosi's fabulous with never working again in America. These same companies indeed remained quiet all last summer after BLM set fire to the ancient Episcopal church in front of the White House and then drove the president of the United States into an underground bunker with violence. They said nothing. They said nothing when rioters destroyed a police precinct in Minneapolis, or in fact, the whole downtown of that city, or when they besieged a federal courthouse in Portland, Oregon, or established their own country, a breakaway Republican downtown Seattle, and shot a guy in the middle of it. That's not entirely true. They did comment on it in some ways. They approved of it. Citibank, 3 months later, gave the rioters money.
Citibank now pulling funding from Republicans, which I couldn't be happier about. I hope the corporate list, the list of GOP donors that aren't donating to GOP anymore gets longer. In fact, I hope they shut the whole party out. They're the disease that has ruined this party because those donors are shared with Democrats. That is the biggest problem that we actually face as a country. The power brokers in the Senate and the House that raise big pots of money for Republicans and thus have power because of it. That'd be Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy. Their hands are completely tied because these donors also give to Democrats. So when you knock a Democrat for something they've said or not said, in other words, not condemning the violence, you get a call from your, you know, your big donors who bundle $40, $50, $60, $70,000 for you at a pop and say, listen, I bundle for the Democrats too. What are you doing? You're wasting my money. And they shut up. So today I am a huge supporter. If you are a corporation, please do not donate to the Republican Party. Please step away and go away. You have diseased the Republican Party. They no longer have the ability to fight, and they are being silenced more and more every day. We have plenty of donors who can support the Republicans. Donald Trump shattered fundraising records with small donations. We do not need corporate donors anymore. We do not need to share donors with Democrats. We have alternatives. And if the GOP leadership cannot understand that or is just simply too lazy to do the hard work of standing up for their constituents, or, you know, soliciting donations from mom and pop in $25 to $100, you know, pops, then they need to be taught a lesson and have their donors stripped from them. So please go. Citibank, bye-bye. Good to see you. Glad to see you go. Bank of America, please hit the road. Leave. This has been a problem for a long time. This is the best thing that could happen to the Republican Party. For those who do not, who betray and do not support their base, who do not speak out when they are silenced, to lose their source of funding and thus their source of power. It's honestly, y'all, you should be so excited. GE has joined the list. So is Marriott, JPMorgan Chase. These are big Democrat donors that have begun giving to the GOP leadership so they can control the Republican Party, too. It's a brilliant strategy. So I couldn't be happier to see them gone. I hope they never come back.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And then President Trump made a speech. That's how the story goes. Yeah, he made a speech. And that made the crowd go wild. And they were just exhorted to violence. And so, yeah, we got to impeach him. Yeah, Don't ask any more questions, though. Or they'll take your Twitter account and Facebook page. I wonder, you know what's going to be interesting? I wonder how much longer Catherine Herridge, the CBS reporter, is going to be allowed to have a Twitter account, because with the kind of reporting she's doing, I mean, you can't put the truth out there like that. Yes, this is Catherine Herridge with CBS reporting what I reported yesterday. Timeline is impossible. Here's her tweet, and I'm going to break this down even further for you. The crowd could not have done. The story is that Trump, and they make it sound like Trump's standing right outside the Capitol, man. He's whipping him up, and he's firing him up, and he's telling him to go be violent. And he's doing that. And then they go rush the Capitol building. Where Trump was speaking was about a 45-minute walk from the Capitol building. And the incursion, I can't really call it a riot. The incursion began on the illegal incursion onto Capitol property, which is trespassing, into the Capitol building, began before he finished speaking. Wait, it's a 45-minute walk from where he was speaking? Yep. Let's say you ran. Could you do it? No. Here's CBS reporter Catherine Herridge's tweet. Timeline. Critical window Wednesday is coming to focus. 12:30, 13:15. While POTUS addressed the rally and before he concluded his speech, a group was already pushing onto the grounds of the Capitol building. And the first pipe bomb was discovered at the RNC and second pipe bomb discovered at the DNC. In short, the timeline's impossible. It doesn't even make sense. Again, not a conspiracy site. This could be fascinating to see what Twitter does with this. I mean, she's a CBS reporter. CBS has liberal privilege. No matter how much fake news they report, they're normally untouchable. So I don't know how they're going to deal with this level of truth being put out by a CBS reporter who is widely considered to be highly credible. I mean, she's been at Fox News and CBS, so I don't know how they're going to deal with that. But I got the timeline right here. Using a conspiracy site? Well, yes, I am using a conspiracy site. It's called the Washington Post. But let's use their timeline. Their own article admits, quote, the first wave of protesters arrived at the Capitol building at 12:40. When did Trump's speech conclude? Well, let's go to another conspiracy site, NPR. I consider them to be conspiracy sites, but others call them the mainstream media. Choose NPR. Let's do it. When did a speech conclude? Well, NPR has helpfully published a timeline, too. 1:11. Wait. Hold on. The first wave of protesters arrived at the Capitol building at 12:40? Yeah. And it's a, what, 45-minute walk? Again, we're going to assume they ran 15 minutes. Man, they were in great shape. And they were so young. A lot of them, maybe they could have run. Sure didn't look like Trump supporters, but whatever. Even with a 15-minute window and assuming they ran, physics doesn't add up. So here's the timeline. Washington Post. The first wave of protesters arrived at the Capitol building at 12:40. When did Trump's speech conclude again? 1:11. That doesn't add up, does it? If Trump's speech didn't conclude to 1:11, according to NPR, they got to walk over. That would put the first people from Trump's speech, remember the crowds, he'd driven wild. He told them to go violent, except he didn't. He told them, quote, to peacefully and patriotically make their voices heard while marching over to the Capitol. If Trump's speech didn't conclude till 1:11 and people started walking to the Capitol, that would have put the first people from Trump's speech at the Capitol no earlier than 1:56 p.m. A full hour and 16 minutes after the troublemakers arrived. In other words, these are two separate groups. These are not the same group. The people from Trump's speech did not go in. Now, when the media tells the story, they make it sound like Trump's like right in front of the Capitol. He's like, go in there, man, tear it apart. No. So I've just used three sources, CBS, Washington Post, and NPR. Timeline doesn't work. It's impossible. Now, let's think about how this might be knocked down. You could theoretically, theorize that it's possible that some people who were already at the Capitol building might have seen Trump's speech online, right? So they wouldn't have had to made the walk. It's just two separate crowds. They are not the same crowd. The media is lying to you about that. This is not the crowd of Trump supporters who were at the speech who did this Capitol building bust. It's physically impossible. But let's say the crowd that was at the Capitol building, a totally different crowd with, you know, at least one violent Black Lives Matter activist who breached the Capitol building. We know that for a fact. That's indisputable. He breached the building in the crowd, along with Trump supporters who were also arrested. They are very well documented Trump supporters. They also breached the building as well. That is true, too. We know that. That's a fact that we can use. We know those two facts. Perhaps that group at the Capitol building watched him on television. Well, when did Trump's speech conclude? Suppose he wasn't on TV. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say TV. Say they watched him on the internet. Trump's speech concluded at 1:11 p.m., according to NPR. When did the first wave of protesters arrive at the Capitol? 12:40, before he began speaking. So even if some different group were watching him speak online, the streaming or whatever, the incursion began at 12:40. He finished speaking at 1:11. How hard is it to do this? Math. Real hard if you're trying to preserve the narrative. This is all fake, folks. It's a lie. And again, now we've got three mainstream media sources right here, including Catherine Herridge, CBS reporter. Timeline doesn't work. To watch her today, they have got to be sitting around at Twitter trying to figure out what to do with this. She's a CBS reporter. She's telling the truth. She's saying, ain't no way the Trump crowd did this incursion into the Capitol building. They physically couldn't have. The timeline doesn't add up. So normally you would lose your Twitter account for accurately pointing out a thing like that, but she's a CBS reporter. So I don't know what you do in that kind of situation. Do you try to get her fired from CBS? Is that what you do? Or do you just take her Twitter feed so she'll stop telling the truth? See, there's another problem. She got the National Explosives Task Force report from the federal government. When did they place those pipe on? Because see, the way the media is reporting is they got so fired up, man, by Trump's speech, they went and they just tried to bomb the RNC and the DNC. Really? When does it go down with the pipe bombs? About 12:45 and 12:45, huh? Okay, and he's finished speaking at 1:11? Couldn't have been the speech that motivated them. Doesn't physically add up. It doesn't. So we need to know, what was up with the crowd actually outside the Capitol? Who were they? Because they were not the Trump supporters who stood there in the cold and listened to Trump's speech. They were two different, totally different crowds. There's a lot of questions here, folks. And in the coming months, when the media's moved on to some other fake scandal, we'll get to the bottom of it like we always do. So hang tight. You want real news? Keep it tuned right here. Let's jump on the line with Brian and Gaffney. You were there at the Capitol. We're talking about CBS's Catherine Herridge doing what I did yesterday, which is completely debunking the timeline. It is physically impossible for the crowd at the Trump speech to have made it to the Capitol and done the violence, which is the narrative from the media, because the timeline doesn't match up. He was not done speaking when the violence began, and it occurred, you know, AWOC 45 minutes away. It's impossible. Right, they were two separate crowds. So what? You were there. What's up, Brian?
The timeline is right. Now, let me tell you why. Donald Trump was supposed to speak at 11, and I was hoping he would have because I was cold. But he was supposed to speak at 11. His normal speech is about an hour long, and you were right about 45 minutes. 45 minutes from the White House to the Capitol, it would have been 12:45. Those people knew that. They already scoped it out. They figured Trump would speak at 11. He'd be done at 12. All the people would be crowded about at 12:45. It's been bugging me for days. And I've been doing a bunch of research myself. And I sent you an email with a video of Donald Trump, Don Jr., Eric, and Ivanka at the stage where they're getting ready behind it. And they were all together, and all of them together. They were there. Don Jr. spoke at about 10:15. He was done about 10:30 or so. It took about an hour and a half for Donald Trump to finally get on, and he didn't start speaking until 12. But he was slated to speak at 11. Something about me is wondering, after seeing all this, if he waited till 12 on purpose because he knew something would be up and Trump supporters would get blamed. But the timeline's right. It does take 45 minutes, especially with that crowd, because I was shoulder to shoulder, and it's very, very fishy.
Yeah, it doesn't completely add up. And I thank you for your phone call. Let's jump on the line with John in Gray Court. You got 1 minute, John.
Yeah. Hey, the Democrats are attacking Trump. They're threatening Republicans. They're silencing key voices. Do you think that the Democrats are intentionally seeking to incite conservative patriots to violence, to use it against them?
I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if that's on purpose or if they just their legislative agenda is so radical. And because their followers don't get real news, they voted for them having no idea. A lot of them, they are going to completely remake this Supreme Court, add, you know, a permanent majority, do a mass amnesty with voting rights. I mean, they have no idea the Democrats are about to make themselves a one party system with absolutely no alternative whatsoever. And so the only way their voters are going to figure out, the Democrats voters are going to figure out what actually is happening in this country, is from us. And so they've got to take every crisis and use it to silence us, because, you know, they watched Trump support go, and this terrified them. And thank you for your phone call, from 60 million to 75 million real votes. And so, you know, that was in 4 years. What could Trump do in four more, especially if their own followers and voters actually knew what was going on in the country? They're terrified. So they're using this as an opportunity to silence the one group of people who actually know what's going on in the country, the 75 million.
Oh, 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 all right. vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.